topic is bread from heaven. So I want to look at today. John, just going to John chapter 5, just to take a quick look at maybe what I call the remoter context, because I actually wanted to get to John chapter 6, but there's a few verses in John 5 that are helpful in establishing a bit of the remoter context. In John 5, there was a healing of the man on the Sabbath. There was persecution by the Jews towards Jesus Christ for having healed on the Sabbath. And then later on in the fifth chapter, in verse 24, Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Verse 37, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not." And that's the context, as we're going to see, is believing on Jesus Christ is the context here that we're interested in. Verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But, and yet you will not come to me that you might have life." So you guys know that the scriptures can provide eternal life, and I'm the way by which you can get that, but you still won't come to me. Verse 40, "And you will not come to me." Verse 41, "I receive not honor from men, but I know that you have not the love of God abide in you. And I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust." They were well aware of Moses, and they were following the law. And he says, he actually accuses you, because he says, "For had you believed Moses," verse 46, "you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" You know, the whole thing he was saying was that he is the way to life, and yet they would not come to him to get that life. And it's a very simple truth that I wanted to look at today. It's the simple truth that everybody in the world needs to believe. It's on Jesus Christ. That's what everybody needs. You know, John chapter 6 has a wonderful parallel analogy here, using bread as a way of revealing this wonderful truth. In John chapter 6, verse 1, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias, "and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And you'll see bread is the used throughout this entire chapter to communicate a very powerful truth. "And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do." See, even in the getting of physical bread to eat, which everybody needs, Jesus Christ wanted to teach Philip a truth. Even in the getting of that bread, verse 7, "Philip answered him, 200 penny," you're going to see verse 7 and 8 and 9, very interesting. "Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples said, Hey, look, Simon Peter said, there's a lad here which hath 5 loaves of barley loaves and 2 small fishes." You see, this is a real, real common response to need among men. I have a need. Okay, well, I've got this, you got this. How much money in your bank account? What kind of job do you have? What are you? And you see, they're really right on top of it, right away. We got ideas here. You know, and it's a real interesting where Jesus Christ was thinking in the back of his mind, I'm about to teach these men something. And I understand. I mean, we all do this. This is not like evil and, you know, incarnate by any means, but man has a tendency to do that. Whereas, and we just talked before fellowship about the first thing we should think about is God and His provision for our lives. And yet, you know, they're right there. Okay, who's got what? How many men? Divide the men by what we got. I can give them 1.36 morsels per person, right? That's sort of, you know, man's ability to logic these things out. And Jesus said, verse 10, make the men sit down. You see, he rather ignored their logic. Didn't even say anything about it. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. See, the situation went from scarcely nothing to one of extreme bounty, but only when God was involved, only when they trusted in God. Because and by their five senses reasoning, it was just scarcity. You know, how many times have you been in a situation like that where, you know, okay, you know, whether it's financial, physical, whatever, you know, mental, it doesn't matter, that things just don't seem to add up. But you know where you want to get to. And here, God didn't just give them enough. There was stuff left over. You know, you remember God's bounty. He's a fountain of living waters, right? Overflowing. So, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down onto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Just a little miracle in passing. The ship just immediately appears where it's supposed to go. Verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea, because they had gone to the other side now, saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So they're looking for Jesus, but they know they hadn't gone with the other guys, so where was he? Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither the disciples, they also took ship. You notice the place they were looking for him was the place where they had eaten bread. That's where they had been fed. They had received physical food, and so they were kind of looking around. Oh, is he around here somewhere? We could use another meal. You're going to see, that's the whole point of what they're trying to do here. They're trying to find more food. They took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they came on to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, look, verily, verily, I say unto you, seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. See, very clear. That's why they were looking where they had eaten. Maybe he's still around. Maybe we left a few fragments. Who knows? And yet Jesus Christ confronted them right away as soon as they arrived. You're not looking to me because you saw the miracles from God. You're looking to me because your needs were met. You got food. How much of that is the reason why people try to serve God so they can get things from God, as opposed to trying to understand how to serve God and walk with Him, and as a result of which your needs will indeed be met. We call it seek the blesser, not the blessings. So he confronts them. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Again, you know, we just recently took a look at Paul, how much we had seen, how much of God's word orients us to what is coming in the future, pressing toward for those things which are ahead. And even here, when Jesus Christ is telling them, he's saying to them, when you work, the things you do in life, the labor you put into life, you know, yeah, he's not saying you don't have to eat. Forget about having a job. It's not necessary. That's not what he's saying. He's saying where you put your most effort, where do you put your most, where do you put your time and energy? He's saying labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which meat endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. That everlasting life is literally translated the life of the ages. Verse 28, then said they unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, again, the same context we saw in John chapter 5, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And he had just confronted those guys in chapter 5. It was, you know the scriptures, but yet you won't come to me. You won't believe on me. Moses wrote about me, yet you won't believe me. You won't believe on me. And they asked him here, well, what are we supposed to do? He said, believe on me. You see, it's a very simple truth. It's not complicated, right? This world and the various storms that surround this world and the various problems that exist in it, and there are a lot of them. I'm sure we can all enumerate the problems of the world. It's a simple truth that Jesus Christ taught, and it's the same truth today. Believe on Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. That's what they need. And he says, believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him. Now this is again, you see, he just told them this, okay? He just told them one of the greatest truths anybody in the world will ever hear, okay? This is it. You carry this truth with you wherever you go. I don't care who you speak to, how old they are, what they know, what they don't know, how scared you are, how much you respect them. It doesn't matter who they are, whether they're head of a nation, whether they're lowliest servant. They need one thing to be told to them. Believe on Jesus Christ. That's what you carry. This is what he just told them. And look where their minds go to. Verse 30. Then said therefore unto them, what sign showest thou, then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? For example, Jesus, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. What are they thinking about still? Food. He just told them a great truth, and he goes, well, in the Old Testament, our fathers ate manna in the desert. He gave, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Could you maybe do the same for, like, you see how where their mind's at? Yeah, this is the struggle in mankind, right? You know, we read it in Matthew chapter 6 where he says, you know, after all these things do the nations of the Gentiles seek, you know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's always that same fight, and here they are again. He just told them, believe on me, and he said, well, maybe you want to show us a miracle with bread involved. That could be nice. You know, that's what he said. That's literally what he said to him, manna. We're going to see manna as an amazing truth here. Okay. He gave them bread, verse 31, to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. See, manna and bread, the manna that was given in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ is a type throughout this text section. The type is the manna represents the physical life, and the anti-type to that, Jesus Christ, is spiritual life. And that's what we'll see throughout this chapter. Was the manna from heaven? Yes, it was. It came from heaven. God gave it. But he goes, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That was a kind of bread from heaven, but he didn't give you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That's the bread. You know, as the manna provided physical deliverance, Jesus Christ was sent to provide spiritual deliverance. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I don't know where their minds are at. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In what category is he talking about? What category are they talking about? They want to eat every day. They always want to have physical bread supplied every day. That's what they're thinking about. Give us this bread so we may eat every day. And he says, well, if you take this bread, you're never going to hunger or thirst. Is he talking physically? Absolutely not. He's talking spiritually. Let's look at, quickly, keep your finger here. We'll jump right back to this. Look at Exodus 16. Exodus 16, please. And in verse 35, it says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, verse 35, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. See, the manna took them from the time they left bondage and brought them to the time they were got their deliverance. The manna is a type of Jesus Christ. He takes you from bondage unto deliverance of eternal life. The manna lasted until they actually got the deliverance. It's also a sad side to the manna is that at one point when the manna was there, they actually started talking about this is all they started. It says the words that they use, they loathed it. They loathed the bread. They didn't like, they were annoyed by it. You know, if you look at the type of Jesus Christ, it's like how many, you know what they actually said? They said, our soul doesn't like this light bread. We hate it. I'd rather want to go back and eat the leeks and garlics and cucumbers of Egypt. How often do people, when they know Jesus Christ a little bit, they believe, they're always looking back to the old life. You know, how much is that? You see how it's a type. Manna is a type of Jesus Christ. You know, how much they, I can't remember. No, you know, what did Paul say? He said, forgetting those things which are, he's not talking about yesterday. Forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing forward. Always pressing ahead to those things which are before. And that is not just tomorrow. That is the life of the ages. That is coming. Right? As sure as they say a recession is coming, this is more sure, way more sure, because it's guaranteed by the word of God. You know, so they wanted to look back, and they loathed this light bread, which he told them. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, while we're here, one more verse, we'll jump back to John after that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. That's why he did. He wanted to see if they would trust and believe him. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Why? And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. Why? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. He wanted to teach them with the manna. What was manna? Manna was bread they could eat, was it not? He was teaching them with bread they could eat, that this is not the only kind of bread you need. And the way he did that was by providing that bread for them miraculously. See, if he had just, if they'd just been able to grow their own bread, they would have said, okay, here we are, we're good. But no, he wanted to teach them that when you eat this bread, this is not enough for you. Trusting me to provide that for you, that's what you have to understand is important. That's when he read the rest of chapter 8, all of Deuteronomy. He says, when they got to the promised land, he goes, don't forget me. That's what he said. Don't forget who has done this for you. And this is why it's funny. You use bread, physical bread, that they could eat to teach them that's not all you need. The manna was that example. It's the way, let's go back to John chapter 6. We're back at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. See, even in that, the Old Testament, what's the parallel truth? The parallel truth is, if the manna ceased, which it did someday, could they still trust God? If you come to him, you never hunger or thirst. It's not about the physical bread. So many people, make it about the physical things of life. It's not about that. It's about learning to trust and walk with him regardless of your circumstances, regardless of life. Verse 36, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's nothing greater that you can offer to people today. There's nothing greater that you can offer people today than eternal life. And to believe on Jesus Christ. People might talk about, the horrible, children we have today, the teenagers and all the problems that they're getting into in life and all these things. Well, what's the solution? How do you solve that problem? How do you solve the problem of drug addiction in the world? How do you solve the problem of, crime running rampant in cities and places? How do you solve these problems? What's the solution to man's problems? What's the solution to the incredible increased rate of marriage breakups? What is the solution? What is this? If you had one thing, to offer to people, what would it be? Jesus Christ is the solution. How can a man and a woman live married and have a strong, healthy marriage without Jesus Christ, believing on Jesus Christ? What do you teach your kids? You teach them about Jesus Christ, so when they grow up, they too can have a healthy marriage and a healthy life. You teach people in politics or wherever they're involved in it to serve the Lord, because when you serve the Lord, Ephesians says, you don't have to have a physical master because you serve the Lord and you serve him. If Jesus Christ is the solution to man's problems. There's no apologies to be made for that. It's not like, well, that's a kind of a... I don't care what people think. The Word of God says this. He says, what do you want us to do? He said, believe on him whom he had sent. That's why God sent him, because man needed him. There was none that did good, so he sent Jesus Christ. Verse 40, where are we? 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. He is the bread from heaven. He is the solution to man's hungering and thirsting. Is Jesus Christ. The Jews then murmured, verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They weren't saying that when he gave them physical bread, were they? He gave them food and bread. Well, you're just Joseph. They didn't care. But now when he's talking to them about eternal real, well, you're just Joseph's son. You see how man is so fickle. So fickle. How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, or the life of the ages. How many times can it be said? Let's say, he that believeth on me. I was reading a book by Stuart Allen called Letters from Prison, and he says in there that, you know, you go around life each day, walking around, and, you know, you're always looking for the opportunity. He goes, it's horrible when the opportunity to witness to somebody, you recognize it after it's just passed you. He goes, how wouldn't it be great if you could just recognize the opportunity when it happens, as opposed to seeing the back of it when it's gone? You know, this is it. This is the simple truth. You and I have, we're not complicated folks, right? That's one thing about believers. We're not complicated. What's there to do? Believe on Jesus Christ. I have problems with my marriage. Believe on Jesus Christ. My kids don't obey me. What do you believe on? You know, you guys have the same answer for everything. Well, you know, I'm sorry. We're very one-dimensional people. Believe on Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what Jesus Christ said. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. This is it, boys. Nothing else. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That bread from heaven that God gave them, they ate it, yet they still died. And it was a miracle. He gave them a miracle for 40 years. He gave them a miracle. And Jesus Christ said, yeah, they ate that and they're dead. Stop thinking about the physical bread. That's his way of saying it. You know, they're dead. This is the bread, verse 50, which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. The true bread. He was the true bread from verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, or in the age. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? they're still thinking about supper and lunch, right? What does it mean to eat his flesh? What does it mean? He just told them. He just explained to them what it means to eat his flesh. Is to believe on him. They still don't get it. You know, the first command to the Roman, to the first commandment to the Christian church in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, right, is after Paul lays out this wonderful treatise on no one was good and no one could do it themselves, then God had to send Jesus Christ, you know, and, you know, then they had to believe on Jesus Christ to receive a righteousness that was not based on works, but on the work of Jesus Christ. When they did all that, he tells them all this, and then what does he say? He goes, reckon yourselves to be dead unto God. He says, now I want you guys to logically reason this out. Think about this. Figure this out, that you're alive unto God. Just believe on him. It's the same thing. Believe on him. Not on what you can do, what you can bring to the table, because honestly, we got nothing to bring to the table. I don't have anything. Nothing to bring. It's only him. He is the one. He's the one who brought it all. Right? And so he's the one. He said, logic this out. Even when, you know, and when they were in the, remember the two times he fed, we just read one of them, the two times he fed the several thousand. Later on, they didn't have bread. And he says, oh, you know, he says, you guys beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they go, oh, we haven't got any bread. See, man's mind always seems, he says, no, I'm not talking about that. He was talking about the doctrine. Don't mess up the doctrine of Jesus Christ with any other nonsense. And there's a lot of, warnings about that in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. A lot of warnings. Don't adulterate the simple teaching. Don't get caught up in the corruptness of life and the confusion of the world. The simplicity of Jesus Christ is there, and it's always there, underlies all of life. Where are we? Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, the life of the ages, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. Said it again, the second time. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Somebody who believes on Jesus Christ shall live forever. I think he's explained that a few times here, hasn't he? Same truth. You know, it's very interesting. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament had three things in it, if you'll remember. It had the tablets that Moses did. It had the rod that budded, Aaron's rod, and had the pot that had the manna in it. You see, everything that God did pointed the way to the coming of Jesus Christ. The tablets, Jesus Christ is the Word in the flesh. Aaron's rod that budded, it is the mark that was the true priesthood. But what is the true priesthood? It's Jesus Christ and the pot of manna, held the manna. What was that referring to? It was a type of the coming of Jesus Christ. See, everything God did foreshadowed, told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the central figure of all history, and it is in him that all things consummate in the ages to come. Verse 59, These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not on, who should not betray him. See, it's all about believing on him. That's what eating his flesh, drinking his blood, is believing on him. And he said, Therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go? Are you guys going to take off as well? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the great truth that everyone must believe. It's the way that you never hunger or thirst again in your life, in any category of life. All the blessings of God are wrapped up in believing on Jesus Christ. For those of the Old Testament, since he was prophesied, for those of today, and for those in the ages to come, because God's great plan is going to find its consummation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread from heaven.